Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dettis.
And I'm Aaron Flores. The U.S. has scored a goal in 49 minutes just after the half. The score is now 1-0 U.S. versus Mexico. This is a qualifying game for the World Cup.
Right you are, Aaron. Right you are.
Oh, sorry. Wrong show. Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication and the internet, FIFA scores and whatnot.
FIFA?
That's the organization, the football.
FIFA?
Football International something. Football.
And no one knows what that means
in America. Sure. No, not here in the U.S.
Because they say football and we're thinking of the oblong kind of pointy-ended ball.
That's the NFL.
Yeah, seriously. Which...
That dang...
If I haven't said it before, is bullshit. Someone's going to be mad. Someone out there likes football. And I'm...
Our listeners don't like football, do you?
I sure hope not.
I'm sure they do.
Well, no, this is the thing. I, for the longest time, have never been a fan of organized sports, so... If anyone that's a longtime listener doesn't know that already, they just haven't been paying attention, I think. But as I often like to say, when I go out and, you know, someone says, oh, there was a big thing that happened with some game, and I'll have been somewhere in nature, and I'll be like, oh, I forgot there were sports. So
usually when people start engaging that part of a conversation, I sort of switch to the Charlie Brown teacher noise. Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I try to play along. Like, I don't immediately tip my hand that I don't follow sports and that I'm really not all that excited about them, because sometimes when you're with a stranger and you're making polite conversation...
Well, you gotta connect, right?
You have to connect, yeah. And so I'll be like, oh, that's that team, right? From that place. Yeah. How are they doing these days?
Howdy, partner.
Oh, really?
Is that local sports team?
Exactly. It's not a matter of making statements so much as it is asking questions that will enlighten me. So I've learned a lot about sports from talking sports with people I don't know well. People I know well know that I don't want to talk about sports. So if they're into them, we just don't talk.
It's not the sport or the athleticism that I mind so much as... the industry around it.
The sports industry?
Right, which, you know, you can't really have one without the other anymore.
It's true, yeah, yeah.
You know,
and college kids, not getting paid, so much money flowing in.
Yeah, I love World Cup time. There's just something about watching soccer that always attracts me, but only, like, during World Cup. I can't watch, like, a regular game. I don't know. If someone asked me to go to a Timbers game, I might go.
Yeah.
But...
you've never been, right?
I've never been.
Yeah, no. I've been once, but it was the old Timbers. Not the professional, like...
not the MLS.
What is it? Major League Soccer Timbers, but the old Timbers. And I think that was before they were attracting huge crowds, because I remember going to what was at the time PGE Park long ago, the Civic Stadium, which I greatly prefer that name, but every stadium has sold it. And look at me talking sports. Every stadium has sold its naming rights to some large corporation.
Of course.
So, but when I was there, it was the cheer songs and everything was much more profane. And it's still fairly profane, but I think they've tamed it down a bit for a family audience.
Right, right.
Back in the day, it was just a bunch of anarchist kids that loved soccer that knit their own scarves and went to the game, and you just shouted obscenely at the opposing team. That was the thing I loved best about it, was that, like, every time the opposing team was up for, they call it a kickoff in soccer?
Sure.
What do they call it, really?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All
honestly.
Right. All right. I'm going to call it a kickoff because that's what's happening. The opposing team would line up, you know, the ball would be there, and the guy who's about to kick the ball into the field gets ready. He winds up and he connects his foot with the ball. And at that exact moment, all the anarchists in the cheering section would go, "You suck, asshole." And it happened, you know, every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time the ball started moving. So I loved it.
How do you stop somebody from yelling that, though, in a crowd?
Well, I think what I'm guessing is that the old fans, if they're still around, I'd really be curious, actually, to find out what's happening these days, because I don't know what the new Timbers scene is like.
Like the MLS had a sit-down talk with the Timbers Army. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Now that we are a professional sport,
right?
Can you just kind of tone it down a little bit?
Well, and I think there was something akin to that. I don't think it was like an actual sit-down talk, but there was some communication that was like, all right, the game is changing just a little bit, just so you know. So I really don't know. Again, speaking from ignorance.
But here's the thing.
But go Timbers, you know, Rose City till I die.
Right on. Here's the thing. Like, okay, well, there's the stereotype of like the soccer hooligan in England and Europe. You know, the football clubs that like just beat the shit out of each other.
Right.
Like the fans that beat the shit out.
That's a big thing, and, right?
Well, I think it's overdone in the media. I don't know. I've never been. Any listeners from England, please chime in. Let us know. But you don't see that as much over here.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, soccer's kind of sort of the stepchild of the sports.
Yeah, you see less soccer over here.
But you don't see that in other sports around here. But what you do see are like just random drunk-ass fans in the stands, like beating the shit out of each other for no other reason than they're just drunk. Like
we're drunk.
It doesn't even have to do with like any kind of football club or like fan base.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm drunk and this guy brushed up against me.
Totally. Or, totally. Well, and Adele grew up in Boston, which is famous for, you know, the Red Sox versus, New York Yankees.
Oh yeah.
And you know, that's a big established thing. And there are actually, I mean, she's told me accounts that she's known of or perhaps witnessed of, you know, people actually going nuts in the streets and, you know, bringing beatdowns and large altercations all based on balls, which I think is stupid, but that's just me. So
yeah. That is pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Look at us talking sports.
Look at us. So we're here in the Sprocket Podcast Studios. We are alone this week, which I think I was telling you right before we rolled tape was slightly refreshing to me. Not that I don't like having guests, but I also sometimes get nervous when people walk into the room, and it depends how well I know them. If, you know, if they're repeat guests, we know them pretty well, and we're probably all feeling great. If they are first-time guests, sometimes I get a little nervous.
Well,
so.
And let's admit, like, these guests that we were going to have today, like, you were really, I mean, both looking forward to and, like, at the same time dreading having
right.
them happen because,
right.
like, I mean, these are real pros.
I suppose
in the podcast.
So here's our forward promotion. Yeah, we have next week. It was actually supposed to be tonight, but they ended up having their own show. Had some sort of event that was going on, some opportunity. I assume it was, you know, someone coming in town that they wouldn't be able to corner on the usual broadcast time.
I hope
time.
It's Gallagher again.
It could be. it's the hosts of Fun Employment Radio, Greg Nibbler and Sarah X. Dillon. And they are both my podcasting heroes and my inspiration, I would say. Like, I was a big follower of the show that they were on, the Rick Emerson Show, which was a broadcast show. Mm. And then when they were fired from radio for the last time, they migrated from station to station, you know, as interest. I don't think interest waned, but the corporate types were like, we want someone who talks politics. Yeah.
Okay.
So something like that. In fact, the last station they were on was KUFO, which no longer exists. I believe it's got new call letters now, if I'm not mistaken. But it used to be the rock station here in town, 101 FM in Portland, Oregon. And it was sold to Alpha Broadcasting, which in turn shut down the whole thing, replaced it with a new format that lasted like 5 months because it sucked.
Wait, are you talking 101 like 0.1 or 0.9?
101.1.
0.1. Oh, that's like all talk radio now.
It is. Yeah,
yeah.
It was replaced with conservative talk radio. That's the
terrible.
Glenn Beck and what's the guy? I know him better as the beady-eyed sack of flour, which is how he was referred to, I think. When
are you talking about Rush?
No. That might be an apt description, but Lars Larson is the local equivalent of Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, just someone who opines about Republican politics. And to all of our Republican listeners, we love you. But we probably disagree. You and I personally
well,
disagree.
It's not the politics, though. And let's be honest, like people like Rush and Beck and even Air America when Air America was on, except,
right.
you know, Air America was on the left. So we all agreed with them.
It was the leftist version of political talk radio.
It's not about the politics for them. It's theater, man.
Well, that's the thing. When you think about it, it is theater. So, so the theater that I prefer is the theater that talks about like rock and roll music and Star Wars, which is what they were doing on 101 FM back in the day. So anyways, Fun Employment Radio hosts Greg and Sarah will be with us next week. And we'll be talking to them about their bike commute challenge. They partnered with the Bike Gallery, and they promoted the Bike Gallery, and the Bike Gallery offered discounts to their listeners, and it was pretty awesome. So Greg and Sarah, they kind of had this little competition, and I am still unclear. I've been tuning in for the updates and trying to figure out what whether it's over or not yet. I don't know if there's a winner, so we'll find out next week, unless I find out midweek. But all you listeners will find out next week. Yeah, so anyways, that's kind of exciting. But also, these people are like gods in my head. At least demigods. And you know, it's not... they're people just like we're people. But it's also just like if...
They got the guy from Sharknado.
They did.
On their show.
They did. No, the nature of fame is funny, right? Because like you and I, we're both into kind of fairly obscure music.
Sure,
And so, I mean, different... You have your own set of music you like, and I don't think our tastes overlap a great deal.
I think they overlap more than you give them credit for.
Probably so, yeah. But you're like the rock and roll. You're the guy I wish I could be as a music fan, but I'm too much of a pop radio fan. So that's where we diverge. But point being, if you or I were to meet our musical heroes, we would be agog and flustered and be like, I have all your albums, and it would be a shit show for the band that we were talking to.
Okay.
But for anyone who doesn't know who they are, it's going to
be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So who are you? You're in a band. Yeah. That's cool. All right. What else do you do?
Question. Have you ever... this is terribly embarrassing.
No, before you ask the question, let's open our beverages because I think we should have these. You have... Whoops, I dropped my opener.
So I have something really interesting.
Yeah.
This is a Joya natural soda.
Right.
Flavored with grapefruit, chamomile, and cardamom. And I'm a sucker for anything with cardamom in it. Actually.
Right. Well, it's also, it was the same color as an Ize beverage, so I thought that's what it was at first.
Yeah. But. Oh, my God, that smells awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's better than not smelling awesome.
That's true. Like, you can really smell the grapefruit in there.
Nice. And I have the Hopworks Pig War White India Pale Ale with a fantastically styled pig on the label. And we can talk about that later. Mm. But what were you going to say?
Oh, so speaking of meeting your musical gods or your idols, have you ever had dreams of like meeting them and like jamming with them,
like aspirational dreams or like
sleepy time dreams?
Okay.
like
I never
REM
have.
Sleep dreams.
No, I never have.
Oh, okay. I haven't either. I was just asking.
Okay. That's a good question. I like that idea. But it's usually, I mean, you know, dreams are weird. I think if I did have the dream, it would end up that like, you know, I couldn't find my cable or like I was out of batteries in my effects pedals or something like that. And then I would have no pants on and then I would wake up.
Mm.
So that's probably how that dream would go.
I filled in for Johnny Ramone.
Oh, really?
Once.
In a dream?
Yeah, in a dream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not in real life.
He couldn't play.
Okay.
So... You know, I was right there next to Joey and Dee Dee.
That's fantastic. So, well, we've had some interesting bicycling experiences. I had my first long bike ride in a long time, which was a lot of fun.
I went out camping.
Yeah, camping at Cascade Locks, Oregon, which is where the Bridge of the Gods is, right next to the Bonneville Dam. And we've passed through that quite a bit because the Bridge of the Gods is one of the only ways to get across the river with a bike for like 100 miles in each direction or something. 50 miles in one. And all the other bridges to the east suck. So there's that. But anyways, we've used that oftentimes to get out to... We've got friends that live nearby. Walking Man Brewing lives out there. And... yeah. So anyways, I heard about this from my party bus boss who said, hey, the PCT, the Pacific Crest Trail, they're doing this festival to kind of celebrate people that are doing through hiking and that sort of thing. And so we biked out there and it's like a 43-46 mile ride. It's actually pretty doable. And the cool thing is we didn't do this on the way out. We did this. Hypothetically, we could have done this on the way back. I'm not encouraging this because it's not open to the public until after October 31st, as per the website.
Oh, yeah.
So, hypothetically, we could have done this. I'm not telling you we did because that would be wrong. That would be against the law.
But
we could have.
Snuck across the...
So, yeah, they've paved this new trail. We talked about this on the show. You and I didn't talk.
When Brandon Rhodes and I interviewed
Jonathan Moss, I believe, they had just broken the news that they were going to pave a trail alongside the Interstate 84, which goes between Portland and Cascade Locks and parts farther east, and right through the heart of beautiful gorge country. The only downside is you have to ride on the freeway, as you well know, because you've done this yes. a couple times. You have to ride on the freeway to get from, what is it, Warrendale to Cascade Locks, Eagle Creek.
Yeah, it's like maybe 4 miles.
Yeah.
Maybe less out of, mm-hmm. It's 4 miles of highway that you have to ride. Or 8 if you're like me and you get on the freeway early.
right.
But yeah, it's about 4 miles east of Multnomah Falls where the historic Highway 30 just drops off.
Totally. Yeah. It drops you right onto the freeway.
Yeah. You have to get onto the freeway for those 4 miles and then exit again. And then there's a trail that's dedicated just for biking and hiking.
Yeah. And heretofore, that trail ended at Moffett Creek. And the part that is actually being paved is almost all paved and almost all complete. Moffett Creek is actually where it is disconnected.
Okay.
It was interesting. Observing this from the legal side, you can see that there's a barrier at the other side. Hypothetically, if you were to go closer and inspect, you would find that if you're comfortable carrying your bicycle, you can actually make your way through.
Lift your bike over the carrier.
Pass a little. There's not even really a barrier. There's a full-sized gap.
Oh.
And yeah, so if you've done any sort of cyclocross or if you've ever carried your bike anywhere, you can hypothetically take that bike through. So yeah, there's a little bit of construction equipment there. They're still finishing up the paving underneath the I-84. There are two other bridges. There's, eastbound and westbound freeway lanes. And so there's two bridges to go under. And then the path extends on the south side of the freeway, the Oregon side. I mean, I guess they're both the Oregon side, but this is like the one right up against the wall of beautiful rock.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and that connects to Yeon State Park. I think it's John Yeon,
yes.
who I haven't actually read the placard about, so I don't know what he did. But I think there's also a street named Yeon in Northwest Portland. So
it is.
Yeah.
I know there is because I had to take that to get onto Saltzman.
Oh, there we go.
Which we'll discuss.
Exactly.
Later.
Yeah. Bookmark that.
Yes.
So all that to say, it's going to be very simple to never have to ride on the freeway to go from Portland. You will have to ride on the road. So there is that, but it's not so bad. The historic highway is beautiful, albeit
I love it.
Steep.
It's one of my favorite rides.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got Crown Point, which has the Vista House. Which I think somewhere on the concrete, it's Vista, H-O-V-S-E, like the Roman spelling.
Oh, yeah,
Vista Hovs, except you call it Vista House.
They couldn't get their chisel to curve.
Right, exactly. So there's that. And then there's also Multnomah Falls, which serves coffee, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I guess on the weekends, there's also now like a craft bazaar or something. I don't know. Craft bazaar
really?
Makes it sound weird. It's like people with photography and outdoor equipment. And there's like a whole tent city set up outside where local vendors are.
Outside Multnomah Falls?
Yeah, vending their
really?
Wares. Because usually I'm used to showing up and there's just a bunch of tourists with cameras and they're all looking at the waterfall. But now once you're tired of looking at the waterfall, you can spend money on pictures of the waterfall or other things that are there. Or a Danish, which I greatly enjoyed. So anyways, yeah, the festival was great. My friend Billy lives out in North Bonneville, so he drove across the Bridge of the Gods to meet us.
Cool.
There's a new brewing company out there called Thunder Island Brewing, and I don't know how far I should spread this word. I guess anyone listening to this podcast knows how to keep a secret and how to keep the stupid people out, so I'll just say it here. You can camp for free as a bicyclist in Cascade Locks at the Marine Park.
Where is this? Is this at like the town of Cascade Locks?
Yeah. So just past, if you're coming from Portland, just past the Bridge of the Gods on the east side is the bulk of the downtown area.
Okay.
There's a grocery store. There's a liquor store in the grocery store.
I've only been as far as the grocery store.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you know that part. There's a great little spot to get like hamburgers and fries and milkshakes and that sort of thing. And they make huge milkshakes, which is great. But just below that, there's an entrance to the Marine Park, which is where they tie up, I think, the Sternwheeler is the paddle wheel boat that moves up and down the Columbia River, which I've never ridden, but I would like to. But they tie up there. It's like their easternmost point on the farthest voyages they take. And that place is really beautiful. There's a man-made island. If it's not man-made, it's at least shored up with like nice stonework and everything. But the island is called Thunder Island, so that's where the festival thing was. I mean, it was a small festival. There's a couple of vendors, and they showed a slideshow at night, and there was dancing. So I danced a Thriller with a bunch of a bunch of backpackers, which was great.
So there was like a bunch of people there, like that were also camping, or
yeah, okay. Totally, yeah, and hence a festival as opposed to a small thing. And then we camped on the other end of that little island, but Thunder Island is the namesake of this brewing company. They just opened. So they make, I think they had four kinds of beers on tap. The one that I liked best, they had a Kolsch, they had an IPA, and they had a Radler, which is like the grapefruit flavored thing, which I'm not a big fan of, so I didn't even try it. But they had these brown Scotch ale, or the Scotch brown ale. And that thing, for not being a porter, sure tastes like a porter. It's really nice. Yeah, I enjoyed it greatly. And I had five or so of them. So it was a good night. But anyways, those folks are there. And I think with any luck in the next couple of months, they will have a location where you can buy this when you go out and bicycle camp there.
Oh, yeah.
So I recommend it highly. Yeah. The only other thing to report about that trip is that on the way back, I had breakfast in the morning, like yogurt and cereal. And then I had nothing else. All the way into Portland. And so by the time I got to Portland, we were supposed to go to a wedding. We were supposed to meet some folks who were going to give us a ride to this distant location. And so we were on the way back, kind of trying to race the clock. And I was within a couple miles of home when I felt the bonk coming on. I felt like I was running out of energy, and I desperately needed some sort of caloric intake. And so I stopped and had a Gatorade, and then it was fine. So anyways, that was my weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And so I recommend highly if anybody wants to go out. Again, we can't recommend that you ride this path until the 31st, because that's when it's officially open.
Incidentally, I think they're doing a thing on the 14th of September. Like previewing the trail.
Oh, okay.
Like a pre-open.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, and the 14th's not here yet.
No.
For some reason, I assumed that it already passed.
The 14th would be this Saturday.
Yeah, okay. So this coming week, anybody who's listening.
Yeah.
And isn't like somewhere else in the country.
I believe they're doing some sort of kickoff at the Vista House.
Okay.
Shoot, where did I read that? I don't know.
On the internet.
On the internet somewhere. Someone look it up. No, I think Bike Portland has a thing on it.
Yeah,
they're previewing it. It doesn't officially open until the 31st, but
that'd be a good time to check it out.
They're doing this one-time thing. I think you have to actually like buy tickets.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, someone check that out.
Well, we're big fans of the historic highway trail.
Yeah,
which is great. The other thing I did notice, incidentally, while we're on it, is you remember the staircase? You've done this a couple times.
Yeah.
There's the staircase somewhere in this ride where you follow the route of the old historic highway kind of along this terraced edge, and then you have to descend like five flights of stairs or something to get to the bottom, because the highway just like ends. So in times past, I've had front panniers, like low riding front panniers on the front of my bike, and that will invariably scrape against the concrete or steps or something. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have amended that, because I was able to roll a bike with four panniers on it, down it with...
like they adjusted that little wheel groove?
Yeah, the wheel groove, the gutter on the side. Yeah. I think they moved it out. So I think there must be new concrete there or something.
Huh.
It's really cool. So I'm excited about that.
I think the last time I took it, I carried my bike.
Okay. Well, sometimes it's easier.
But especially, all I had was the two panniers.
If you're not carrying a lot of weight, it's okay. No. Lastly, I did meet a guy named Greg who's been traveling the world with a bicycle for years now.
Neat.
I think he said he's up here in Oregon just to kind of roll around, and then he's on his way back to South America where he's been plugging away at some sort of route. And I forget what his destination or trajectory is. But just been living on a bike and all that for a good long while. He's going to be in Portland for I can't remember how long. We might have him in if he gets in touch.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But even better yet, he had one of those bob trailers.
Uh-huh. You mean like the little one-wheel?
Yeah, the little one-wheel trailer that you tow behind your bike. I remember they were all the rage back in 2009 when I was riding down the West Coast with Adele. And I think at that point I thought they were kind of dumb.
They're pretty thin and lightweight though, yeah.
But now, having bought one from Greg, I feel like it's actually kind of a cool deal. We didn't have a trailer. Since we moved out from where we lived before, we had easy access to trailers we could borrow. Now we have actual trailers that we can use again, or a trailer. I think it has a 70-pound weight limit on it. And I'm curious. I'm wondering how I can like strap things to it now. I think maybe more bungee cables, but it's nice to have a way to carry stuff. So yeah. Anyways, that was that. I mentioned
Yeon.
Y-E-O-N.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to actually
pronounce
it.
Up in Northwest Portland.
Yeah. Yeon Avenue. Yeah, I took that. I did Saltzman yesterday.
Yeah, and Saltzman is an unpaved road up the West Hills, which is beautiful, glorious,
right,
serene.
That connects to the Leif Erikson.
Yeah,
at some point,
yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah. I was looking for that. I didn't see it.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually what I did last time I was up there.
Yeah. So I ended up taking that all the way to Skyline and taking Skyline down. But somewhere along the way, I took a wrong turn.
Ah.
And I ended up getting lost in the West Hills. And it is hilly.
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
Did you go down the other side, like to Beaverton?
Well, I don't know where exactly I was. I was like in the 50s and 40s. And everywhere I turned, it just like kept getting me further like south,
yeah,
but nowhere further east.
Okay, so at this point, did you regret not having a smartphone? Was this like where you're thinking, oh, it'd be really useful, or did that cross your mind at all?
No. Mostly was just like, why did I even bother doing this without planning it?
You're just thinking, why don't I have a map?
Right. Yeah. Or why didn't I look at a map? Like,
right.
I didn't know I was going to, like, I left the house. I didn't know I was going to do Saltzman.
Nice. It just kind of took you the concept.
Yeah, I went up and over Tabor, and sat at Cup and Saucer and read and drank some coffee for a while, and yeah, I just got up on my bike and decided, okay, you know what, I'm doing Saltzman. I've got nothing else to do today. Yeah, and my original thought was I'll find where it connects to the Leif Erikson Trail and then take that.
There we go.
which I didn't.
Yeah, and it's not well signed. If you know what it is when you get there,
yeah,
you know where you are. But I guess that subverts like that. I get you need. Yeah, sorry. You need prior knowledge.
Sure. Which things like a map or planning. You know,
sure.
Might
I guess
help.
Those qualify.
Yeah. Yeah. So I one cool thing was I didn't see a single person on the trail.
Oh, yeah.
Once I got on there. Yeah. There were a couple cyclists on the Yeon that I'm sure were heading to Saltzman. But I passed them.
Yeah.
A while.
And you'll always see like a bunch of folks out on like in the Northwest areas. Like you'll always see a couple guys that are out for training rides or something like that.
Yeah. I saw a lot coming the opposite direction, actually.
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't until 2 o'clock that I decided to do this.
Sure. So it was in the afternoon, but
like the hottest part of the afternoon too.
But before anybody got off of work. So you kind of had the woods to yourself.
Yeah. It was really nice. So just real zen, like real quiet.
Yeah.
Climbed up there. Oh, I get to the top. You know how there's that gate right there at the top?
The top of Saltzman?
Of Saltzman,
okay,
yeah.
So before you pop out onto Skyline, there's a gate, so there's no one can drive on it.
Yeah, so people can't drive on Saltzman. But there's that little gap that you can ride your bike around.
Yeah.
But right beyond that gap, it's all muddy. It's just this big mud hole.
Mud pit.
And, you know, you're going pretty slow to try to get through the gap as you're riding. And I just remember, like, thinking all of these thoughts of, like, all right, I gotta really power through that mud hole or else my wheel's going to get stuck. You know?
Right,
like,
right.
All right, just make sure, go slow enough to make sure I'm going to go through this gap. But then once I'm through that gap to like really power through it.
Home free.
You know, and like just thinking that, like, don't get stuck. And then ka-thunk, okay, I'm stuck.
Ah.
Don't, come on, keep going. And like, you know, it's that whole like slow motion fall.
Yeah.
Your bike is tipping. I'm falling. And you know, there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Like your body is so paralyzed from like having I don't know, just having overthought probably.
Totally. Well, it's exertion and your brain is tired and you're just like, well, fuck it. I'm going to fall over.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, I just fell right on my side. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you're kind of sort of clipped in because you have the cages, right?
Right. I have toe cages.
Yeah. Were your feet still in the cages when you fell over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the extent to which your brain had given up.
Yeah. It didn't even bother to get my feet out.
I guess this is happening. Did you fall on the derailleur side or the non-derailleur side?
On the derailleur side.
Oh, okay.
I tell you I got a new derailleur?
You might have mentioned
it. I bought
it.
A new derailleur at City Bikes.
Oh, yeah. You've done...
installed it myself.
Yeah. You've done a lot of your own work, which is cool. Yeah. I aspire to that, but...
Oh, it's real easy.
Yeah. I think you might have more mechanical aptitude than I.
I think I'm just more willing to screw things up and then and then ask for help afterwards.
Maybe that's like the bare bones definition of technical aptitude.
Because that's usually how it goes. It's like I try to install, for example, this derailleur and then set the limits and can't figure it out. And so then I have to find somebody. Hey.
Right.
Can you help me on this? I can't seem to get these limits to set right.
You know how these things work?
Oh, well, that's because you're using the wrong screws to set each side.
There we go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Exactly. Is there a good, I don't know, it's such an abstract concept. It's probably not easy to describe, but limit screws on derailleurs.
Limit screws on derailleurs control how far in or out the derailleur goes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's certain derailleurs that they have. It's not so much a gear number as it is a range of motion.
Uh huh.
You know.
So it's not unscrew it to number three.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, I imagine some of the old derailleurs can only move so far, and some of the newer ones you probably wouldn't want to put on a three gear hub. So, yeah, but regardless, the limit screws generally just control how far in and out it goes or it swings. And when installing a derailleur, of course, it's not always going to be set to your cassette.
Yeah, they don't come preset
right.
to what you have.
Yeah, you have to have somebody who knows what they're doing, or you have to know what you're doing yourself to do it. And it's actually a really easy concept. You just have to know which ones
right.
to adjust.
Right.
But it was really easy. Back to Saltzman.
Yeah.
So did that, got onto Skyline, dumped down Skyline. Gosh, that's so fun.
Yeah. Skyline is great. Well, Skyline is one of two things. Either you're going uphill with no momentum in your lowest gear, or you're going downhill and having a blast. But yeah, but those are pretty much the two extremes.
Well, but it's, I don't know, it's pretty steep, but it's so well paved. It's still pretty easy, you know. I feel like it's pretty easy on your legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Saltzman, Adele's kind of agreed.
Is this true, Adele? She doesn't think Skyline's that bad. Maybe the only times that I've done Skyline is when I'm out of shape. I think once I'm in shape, I go and do fun rides in places I haven't been before.
Right.
And then
and discover new places in Indian heaven or something.
Right, right. But any time I go to Skyline, it's almost invariably after I haven't really done rides for a while. So that's part of my problem, probably.
Could be. I think, it's different. Saltzman, it's also pretty easy. It's pretty steep. I don't know. Maybe it's easy to me because I've been in shape, you know. And,
sure. Well, you ride so much, man. That's the thing I'm thinking is that you ride so much more than
it's
I do.
Because I can't leave town.
I guess that's part of it. Yeah.
I don't go camping. I just go on these long ass rides throughout town.
Well, that's one way to get out in the outdoors. So
it's true.
I'm proud of you.
It's true.
You're burning more calories than I am.
Well, I'm burning anxiety is
okay.
what I'm doing.
All right. Yeah. Well. Maybe it's the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
Stress is like body fat.
Yeah. Paved versus unpaved. Going up an unpaved hill is difficult in its own right because you got to make sure to keep most of your weight towards the back or else your wheel's going to slide.
Okay.
Whereas going up Skyline is pretty easy in which you don't really have to think about that as much. You can stand up if you need that extra push.
Right.
You know.
But, you don't have to be as conscious about how you're doing the cycling.
Right. So I guess that's one of the things about Skyline. Anyways, I get on a Skyline and I don't know. The only other time I did it was with you guys, right? And
oh yeah.
I just followed your lead.
Yeah, we stopped at that burger stand.
Yeah, I got that far and I realized I don't know where to go from here.
Uh-huh. So what were you looking at when you lost your way? Do you know?
What was I looking at?
Yeah, like did you see a road that looked like it was the right road and it wasn't?
Or? Well, I kind of looked at, so it's, you know, this intersection of two roads. I could go back the way I went. I could take a left, which goes up a hill.
Oh, okay.
I could keep going straight, which also goes up a hill. Or I could go right, which goes down a hill.
Ah.
Well, my thinking is, well, I've been going up this hill all this time. I should still be making my way down this hill.
So the path of least resistance. Exactly.
Yeah. Which really all I did was keep going further down the backside of that hill.
Nice.
I made it all the way to Beaverton Hillsdale Road before I realized,
oh, wow.
Like, you know, I was nowhere near my element.
Yeah. That's impressive. And, so is this beyond Skyline? Is this like, because Beaverton Hillsdale is kind of like southwest. So
yeah.
You had gone past, the cemetery up there at the top of the hill and everything?
Yep.
Cross Burnside Road. And that's where it's very
easy to
get lost.
At one point, I found myself on Barnes.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, Barnes, I know that is supposed to connect to something.
It
got onto Barnes, and it never connected to anything to me anyways.
Yeah.
Probably, again, turned the wrong way.
Yeah, so you end up in Beaverton.
Yeah, I have the worst directional
sense. I think
sense.
You've told me that before. You're not able to perceive like the points of the compass, as it were.
No, not at all. Like, no. I mean, even using the sun doesn't help me.
Mm-hmm. Even at sunrise?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or sunset?
I mean, I knew like, okay, the sun is on my right, so therefore I must be going south.
Right.
You know, but then not figuring out a way how to get east either, like, but anyways, yeah, I got onto Beaverton Hillsdale Road, and I realized, okay, that's going to get me into Hillsdale.
Yes, it will.
If I had turned left.
Ah.
But I turned right because... Oh.
Because it goes downhill.
It goes downhill.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Why not? You've worked hard enough. You deserve a break.
That's right. And at one point, I looked up at one of the bus stop markers, you know, and caught a glimpse of it. And it, you know, says like whatever line it is.
Right. Double digits, right?
Yeah. It's 50 something maybe.
So anything, any TriMet route that you see that's above like about 50 or so.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true, because there are some on the Portland side as well. Anyways, you see one you don't recognize. And you're like, I don't know where this bus would go.
And I noticed on there, and it's always in really small print, because generally when you're going to a bus stop, you're walking your own foot.
Oh, sure.
You know, but I did happen to catch it said to Beaverton Transit Center.
There we go.
I was like,
Beaverton,
oh,
TC.
Yep, I'm not going the right way. and there was a part of me that was thinking, you know, I'll just take this all the way to the transit center and then just ride the max
home. Catch the max home. It's not a bad way to go.
No.
There's no shame
in
that.
No, it isn't. But there was this gas station I stopped at and got a drink and a Cliff Bar. And
perfect.
It was enough to reinvigorate me and decided, no, I'm biking all the way home.
Yeah.
But here's the cool thing. So I took Beaverton Hillsdale Road, took that... connected with Barber at some point. Knew where I was on Barber. And by the way, traffic was horrendous. Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful for me, because I'm on a bike and I'm just passing all of these cars in rush hour.
On Barber?
Yeah.
So you're going downhill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was this thing in the news about Barber Boulevard. And anybody who's not from Portland, this is inside baseball. But Barber Boulevard has been hotly contested. It's been a dangerous place. Some people have died there. And, because of like the way that traffic flows, it's a dangerous situation.
It's so poorly designed.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So they were talking. It was also designed like way back in the day. It's a pretty old road.
Yeah.
So they weren't thinking at that time like about safety, really. So there was also the idea that you might take one of the lanes off of Barber to reduce some of the stuff. That just got shot down. I think.
Oh, no.
The planners said by 2035, we're going to have tons and tons of cars, and we're going to need that road for capacity.
No, wrong, yeah. wrong.
Exactly, yeah. It's a dumb decision, but, yeah. You know, I can't support it, but I guess, you know, that's the way it goes. So.
Oh, that stinks.
So anyways, you were passing cars on Barbara.
Yeah, it was great.
And you're still alive.
I'm still alive. That's good. I made it. I got harassed by some guy who... There's a part on Barber where you kind of have to take the lane. There isn't... The bike lane just drops off.
Over a bridge, right?
Yeah. It just drops off. And apparently, this guy was not comfortable with me being in the lane and made it clear.
Yeah.
As he passed me to tell me so.
Did he use explicit language?
He did.
Okay.
He said a swear...
What did he say?
He called me an asshole.
Okay. Well, it happens.
Yeah. And, you know, I just kind of waved at him.
Yeah. That was the right response.
Yeah.
But then later, like to yourself, you can refer to him as a gashole.
Well, here's the funny thing is I kept catching up to him at every light.
Yeah, exactly.
And just smiling at him.
Right. Like, hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm still here.
You're not rid of me yet.
You know that one-off expletive you thought like you could say and then just be rid of me?
Right.
Nah,
well, that's the big problem with car culture is that you assume, kind of like message boards on the internet, are anonymous.
Right.
And you think you can just call someone a bad name and then walk away and nothing happens. In traffic, occasionally, you will bump into people again.
Yeah.
And the myth of the auto is that you're in this little thing, this climate-controlled pod from which you can cast your dispersions and then roll away and never be seen again. Mm-hmm. And that means you win.
Right.
But obviously, as proven here, not the case. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I made it back into town.
Yeah. And then you went over Tabor again, right?
Yeah. So took the Hawthorne Bridge into
you
town
sir.
And decided, what the hell? I've punished myself enough. Let's just keep going.
A glutton for punishment. A masochist, and, sir, is what
well,
you are.
Well, here's the funny thing. So I got up on to Tabor, and I'm just sitting there, like, kind of loosening up, kind of half-heartedly stretching.
Half-heartedly?
Yeah. Like,
so that's not really stretching at all.
No, I'm just going through the motions. Like, I know I should be doing something, but I'm just beat.
Sure.
You know?
Well, that's better than me. I don't even pretend to stretch. I should someday.
You should. It's supposed to be good for you.
Okay.
But this lady, I don't know, I would say, like, in her early to mid-50s, walks up to me and she's like, excuse me, were you on Hillsdale Road earlier today?
That's great.
I was like, what? Yeah. And apparently she was there, like, making her way over to Tabor where she was meeting somebody.
Wow.
And she's like, oh, congratulations. And I was,
good for you.
Actually, I'm on my way home. It was only by accident that I made it there.
That's fabulous. Well,
yeah,
well done.
It was kind of neat.
It sounds like a good ride.
In retrospect, it was a fun ride. It wasn't so much fun while I was
in the middle of it.
Yeah,
it's more fun to tell stories about.
Yeah.
But exactly. those experiences are best, maybe even better when being recounted.
Yeah. I don't know how I thought about later putting it on the shift calendar.
Yeah.
like
Aaron's
every,
ride of
every
death.
Monday, Aaron's getting lost in the West Hills ride.
You should do it, man. You should do it.
I don't know. People would want to actually, like, you know, give me directions.
Oh, possibly,
no, you need
to
take this road.
Well, you just need to be explicit when you put the event up. Say, like, this event is about getting lost.
Right.
We're going to lose ourselves somewhere, then we're going to find our way back.
And then I'll have a panic attack.
Perfect.
And then...
Weekly scheduled panic attack.
Yep.
All right. Well, I got to stop leaving town on my days off so I can actually do some of this stuff.
Well, these are on Mondays and Tuesdays on my days
right,
off.
Right. Those are not my days off.
So, no, they're nobody's days off. That's why I do these things on my own.
Well, if anybody out there listening is in Portland or nearby, now you know who to contact.
Please be my friend. Oh, God, that sounds so terrible. No, don't call me, please.
That's not what you meant.
Now I know you're just doing it out of pity.
Right. Well, hey, we've got a little bit of mail from some people that wrote in, and we've got a couple of things that came in the news, so I suppose we should do that. The only catch with that is that means I have to do this.
We got mail. hey, we got mail. We're gonna like put some fanfare to it or something.
Seriously, yeah, I got to work on that. Doctor the sound up.
Go for the dubstep version.
Right.
Adam writes to us, a fan discussion of risk-taking, etc. And glad you've gotten over your hangover, Brock. It was great seeing you at the wedding.
Oh, thanks, Adam. I didn't know he listened to the show.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
How maybe cool. He won't hear this. Maybe just listen to that one.
He's like, actually, I was just writing.
Which is perfectly okay. If you go back to episode 14, way back in the day, We talked with Adam about technology and its place in the world. Should you be suspicious or should you embrace it? That's the question.
You should embrace with suspicion.
Okay, there you go.
Sarah from Twitter tweets to us. That's the right verb, right?
I think so, yeah. I still think it's a stupid word.
It's a stupid thing. First time listening, very NPR-ish. I liked it.
Yeah, and I responded to her saying that, well, the only reason it was NPR-ish is because we didn't have beer last week.
We were sober.
Yeah. Well, you never have beer.
I'm always sober.
But I didn't have beer.
I can't say I'm always
sober.
I just don't drink alcohol.
Right, right. Sometimes you're jovial.
Yes. yeah. Yeah, well, welcome, Sarah.
And, yeah.
Congratulations for finding us and whatnot.
Totally.
Chris in Wyoming, fellers, saw this over at Times Mag, and he sends us a link.
Bicycle Times, which is the fine organization that sponsored Russ and Laura when they went to New Zealand, I believe.
Yeah.
From the pathlesspedaled.com.
You've got it up there?
I do, yeah. It's Garmin releases GPS for touring cyclists. The author here says, this is pretty much the device I've been dreaming of for years. This week, Garmin announced a new GPS cycling computer specifically designed for touring and long-distance cyclists. It highlights the mapping and navigation features, but does without some of the performance features of the other things to keep the price down. So if you care less about how fast you're going and what your splits were, and more about where you're going and what the hills are going to be like, it seems like this is going to be it's going to be your thing. It's a waterproof 2.6-inch touchscreen designed to be usable even with gloves, and the whole unit weighs less than 100 grams if you count weight. It's about, what is it? The Edge Touring will retail for $250 and the Edge Touring Plus for $300. They ship this fall according to Garmin, so seems like a cool accessory. So thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
And also Chris is he's an associate of our friend Brandon Rhodes, former godlike co-host Brandon Rhodes. Apparently Chris lives in Wyoming and he lives there without a car, I believe in Casper.
Oh, right.
And from what I understand, he has a 14-mile one-way commute,
wow,
which he does by bike in Wyoming year-round. So
winters in Wyoming are pretty harsh.
Yeah, seriously. That's getting out into a different climate zone. It's not like winters here.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I'm curious. We're going to have to talk to him at some point, and I'm sure he's hearing this, and I haven't actually called him yet to set that up. So sorry, Chris, but we'll be talking to him soon, and everyone will get to hear
You've been forewarned, Chris.
Yeah, his interesting stories. So there's that.
John and Kay writes to us, I love it, advanced riskology.
Referring to last week's episode?
Yes. I have a 1989 pickup that I use when, God forbid, my bike cannot handle the job. Since the truck is paid for, I have the state minimum insurance, and 100% I agree, referring to Tyler's stance on auto insurance.
Yeah.
Somehow I feel I am in an elementary school and Tyler is daring us, double dog daring us, or maybe he's like that kid trying to get you to jump from the high dive. Come on, man, try it. What are you scared of? Take some risk, man.
Double dog dare you.
Double dog dare you.
So there's that.
Yeah.
And we have one headline that came out not recently, but like in the past couple weeks. I thought it was fabulous. So we're going to roll the entire headline sounder just for this story.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. Circles around the city lights.
Oh, good eye. You said there's two stories, right?
There's, yes.
Oh, okay, my bad. In that case, we're rolling the sounder for two stories. It's almost worth it. Fantastic.
Woman steals own bike back from thief. Kayla Smith of Vancouver discovered her stolen bike on Craigslist, arranged to meet the seller, and asked she asked if she could test ride it, then rode off with the bike.
Yeah, it's a pretty great story. And it's kind of, I don't know, there's some pluck for this person to arrange this, you know, because basically it's funny just reading through the story and the dialogue that they insert here. She loses her bike. Friend calls up, says, "Dude, I think I found your bike on Craigslist." And so she goes into this McDonald's parking lot, says, "Hey, can I test ride the bike?" The guy says, "Yeah, just don't ride away." And of course I'm like, "Don't worry, I won't." And then I just rode away. Which I think I dreamed about that when I lost my Brooks saddle. Because there was one that showed up on Craigslist. It was my model.
Right,
it was my color. And I was like, I'm totally going
to
like go and say, "Hey, can I like check out this saddle?" And then I realized that I just didn't have the nerve, or it wasn't worth it to me.
Ow.
And I also didn't want to show up and it not be my saddle and then just be like, "Well, I'm not really interested." You know?
Well, I just thought it was my saddle and I could steal it back from you.
Exactly. Yeah. My bad. But yeah, anyways, you don't hear too many of these stories working out like this, but on this story, there is a picture of her standing proudly with her bike and and saying, "Hey, look what I did." So congratulations. Glad you got your bike back.
Yes.
The other one here is just from Bike Shop Hub. And yeah, I think this used to be the bike trailer blog that I followed, but they have...
My machine does not want to let me open.
Oh, no worries. I didn't really give you the... I didn't give you the appropriate preparation for this story. So
okay, you talk about it.
The cool thing is, this is kind of a child-sized spring frame for a child's bed that has been converted into a bike trailer.
Ooh.
And I have I've dreamed about something like this for years, as far as like just having something I can tow that would be kind of like a covered wagon, more or less. You know, like you could put a mattress down on it, tow it behind your bike, and then instead of setting up a tent, you basically have your RV. I want an Airstream for a bicycle. So that's what I've been dreaming about. And this guy got close to that because he has the bed that it's all springy, you know, and it doesn't look like this one is adult length, but it does seem like a good idea. It gives me hope that someday I too could have a rolling caravan.
I like the front wheel there. The front wheel attachment there with the ball joint.
Yeah, yeah, and I think so, that's kind of a common thing for people who have a little bit of skill in assembly. Some people will cannibalize parts from another trailer.
Yeah.
Other people will make their own custom hitches to varying degrees of success or elegance. But yeah, the ball joint is really nice because that's something that you can get that and it works. So, so I guess those are our headlines.
There they go.
Yeah. So hey. Time for more music.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
Well, we've got bar trivia coming up in
about a half hour.
Okay, half we're doing hour. Fine. Nice. Well, thanks everybody for hanging out with us. This has been a nice little wrap up of what we've been up to. Looking forward into the future. Let's see. It's about that time of year again. We've got this year I'm not going to do an Indiegogo fundraising support thing because I sucked so much at delivering the rewards last year. I still have three of them, in fact, that are extant, and I would feel bad to start raising funds for another thing before I finished delivering those goods. So, song to be written. I'll be purchasing bike shorts to try out the Lycra thing for Steve in Wyoming. And we got to figure out if you and I can get to the velodrome together because I think that'd be fun.
That would be.
Rent like a track bike at the Alpenrose Velodrome and, you know, race in Lycra. So
I've already got the Lycra.
You don't have to wear Lycra. I'll wear Lycra.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to.
Maybe I do.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe we'll both try it out then. And then Man on the Street interviews. I still need to, like, ask people for Logan, can you buy happiness? And find out what the people say about that. So,
right on.
Yeah. That's the one that kind of scares me, actually. Is going
no,
out and just, like, tracking
I'm actually
people down.
Nervous just imagining you do them.
No, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to stop people on the street. And I like to brush off the people with clipboards that stop me and ask if I have time to donate money to a cause. So,
right. Well, just remember,
so
we're not asking
work?
For
we're not
money.
No, in fact, I could give out stickers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what my pitch would be, though. Well, we'll figure that out.
Yeah. No, it helps to like compliment something that they're wearing
right.
to get their attention.
Exactly. And then they think you actually care
about
them.
If it's a dude, call him, or if it's a guy, call him bro. Dude,
the tactics that people use as clipboard people.
Yes.
Kind of rough.
It works, though.
It works until you find out what they're doing.
It doesn't.
It works until you find out that they really don't care about
Someone
you.
Someone goes, hey, bro, nice shirt. You know, I've already, it's hit my radar.
Yeah.
You don't care about my shirt, and right. I am not your bro.
Because who says that on the street these
right,
days?
Right.
Yeah. No, I was fooled a couple different times. And then I was like, now I've become very jaded and suspicious. And even though I live near Hawthorne, I don't really go to Hawthorne because I'm like, oh, the clipboard people
For that
are there.
Reason.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's nice out. The clipboard people will be
Right,
out.
Right. And so I go to Belmont instead, where I've never seen someone shilling with a clipboard.
Hey, you know, you got a point.
Don't let anybody hear this. If there are any clipboard people out there, don't just, you know, keep it under wraps. Don't send them our
way. Don't tell your boss.
Oh. Is there anything else coming up in the future that we should share?
Carl Larson is doing a bike move at the end of the month.
Oh, nice.
At the end of September? It's on the Shift calendar, so okay. Look that up.
Yeah, Carl Larson, he's a well-known, well-respected person. He works for the BTA, a former guest on the Sprocket podcast. So, yeah, if you want to help him move his
Super
stuff.
Super nice guy. Even if you don't have a bike, he's got frames and bikes that need to get from point A to point B.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this puppy up. If you folks have anything that you want us to know, you can certainly write into us, and we will share all of that stuff. Wait, this is the wrong one. We will share all of those things with you at this point.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. You can also text us to that. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hurt Bird for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com.
I never explained the pig war. British and American people fighting over the San Juan Islands. That's it.
Okay.
Go to bed.
And brush your teeth. Try running the cord through the mail slot. Okay. Giving instructions to Adele.
Exactly. It's amazing how much ambient noise you get in the headphone. At least I'm getting it right now.
I can't tell if it's coming through the headphones or like just because nothing's happening right now, I'm hearing it.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably part of it. And part of it's also because the door is open. The nice thing about the weather getting colder in the fall is that we will close the doors. It'll be
True.
A more
yeah.
enclosed environment.
Less,
so.
Less ambient noise.
That'll probably be okay. All right, here we go.
You got it?
I got it, if you got it.
I got it.